retirement. More and more baby boomers are doing it as they hit 65. But many are skipping that step altogether, and they keep working. Is what makes for a happy retirement any different than what makes for a happy life? Is it wise or ill-advised to retire if you have a choice, be it at 65 or 45? Welcome to Insights. I'm Dick Goldberg, and with me is Mary Helen Conroy, who's the author of your amazing itty-bitty retirement book, 15 Tips for You, the New or Nearly Retired. After she retired from a career of teaching, librarianship, and sales, she went on to start three companies. She does a podcast on retirement called RetireeRebels.com, and she's a life coach. She's a force. Welcome.
Oh, Dick, it's a pleasure to be here today.
Now, how did you get into this whole science, study, coaching on retirement?
How did I get here? That's a really good question.
That's right.
And, you know, I think it's very similar, I'm sure, to other retirees' stories. I walked out the door of a company after 18 years of working for a publication. The publication was sold for the retirement of its editor. And I walked out on the stoop that day. I was 62 years old, and I hadn't a clue what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And I've always known what I was going to do. So, Dick, it was scary. It was scary. I really did not know. So what I did was I hit the couch in a fuzzy robe and watched HGTV for about 3 months.
Oh, my.
And I don't even own a home, so I didn't care what they did with theirs. But it was, I had to decompress. I had to get out of that mode and to let life happen for me. And the only thing that kept popping up during that time was my favorite Helen Keller quote. And that quote is, life's a daring adventure. So I kept pondering that, and I went, but I'm not done yet. And so that's how I started. Life's a daring adventure, Dick, and I am not done yet. So what was I going to do? And one of the things I also knew was our publication was national, so I didn't know anybody in Madison.
Madison's where we're sitting.
Folks. We're sitting in Madison, Wisconsin. And I knew that in order to do anything, you need a tribe. And so I started a really fun thing, Dick. Ready?
Ready.
I started a 50 cups of coffee challenge. Not all on the same day, Dick, so don't worry about that. But what I did was I decided that I would meet 50 different people over a cup of coffee.
Wow.
And talk to them and find out what their life was about. And somebody said, oh, you wanted to know what they could do for you? No. I wanted to know that other people had been there and done it, and I could do it too.
People who've retired?
Retired
and done
or just started a business or whatever.
People have been through transition.
That's absolutely it. So when you say, is it any different than a life thing? No. Retirement's a transition, and it's how you handle transitions that's the real key to this whole retirement thing.
You know what? So, I have a feeling as we talk to you that you don't have to be about to retire to benefit from what you're going to say.
No. In fact, people have said when they read my book, Mary, it's not about retirement. It's about Mary Helen 101. Yeah. How to do your life.
How to do your life. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is it correct that less people are retiring when they turn 65?
Well, you know, that's the big myth, isn't it? We think everybody at 65 all of a sudden walks out a door and that's it. And they close the door and it's over. Only about 25% do. That they retire at 65. And that's because of either they've decided and they planned for that all their life. It's a big number. When I hit 65, even I, in this work, went, whoa, that sounds old. You know, we have the stereotype of what it is when we retire, and we have to get past that. Our RetireeRebels.com, our little tagline for that is ditch the rocking chair.
Mm.
Because we've been... You know, the whole society tells us that that's what we're supposed to do at 65. Get in the rocking chair, just sit quietly, and all will be well.
Tell me if this is accurate. I think retirement is wise for someone who hates their work, has been doing it for a long time, and they've been waiting for the day when they can get rid of this job and they get a pension.
Absolutely. They get a pension or they now have an opportunity to do what they really wanted to do.
Right.
We have had bosses all of our life, and retirement finally allows us to be the CEO of our own life.
Makes sense. But if you're, let's say you don't hate your job, mm-hmm. You know, you don't have golden handcuffs and you're waiting
right.
for 65, who should retire at 65 from their job and who should not?
I would say that if you're going to retire, and obviously it's about enjoying your job, if you still find meaning and purpose in your work, go for it, because that's what it's all about. The other one is your job killing you? Is the stress of what you're doing every day a detriment to your health and your life? Is it a detriment to the relationships you've had? Then get out of it. Then use that 65 number to get out of there. Also, does your job give you those critical social skills you need? If your whole, like I said, I didn't know anybody. If your whole world of social life and knowing people is only at work, then think about whether you want to retire, because you need to plan for that.
Okay, this might be sexist, but don't you think men have that issue more than women?
Absolutely. One of the most terrific things in doing this work right now are the suicides, the suicide level of men. There are 16 a day that commit suicide, men, just because they became retired.
Wow.
We can't have
women?
That.
How about women?
Women are like six.
Three times more men.
Yeah.
Explain that.
It's the social relationships. It's how much, you know, we think we can just retire and flip a switch, and all of a sudden we're going to be happy. Not so much. If we don't have the people around us that we can talk to, and men, you know, I don't want to be stereotypical either, but they're not the sharing feeling thing, mm-hmm. that I am feeling lonely. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. Men are supposed to always know what they're doing. Our generation grew up with that knowledge.
Let me interject and be out of my role for a sec. As an interviewer, there's a book called The Seasons of a Man's Life by a guy named Goldberg, not me,
mm-hmm.
a longitudinal study of men in America. And he found, they asked men, do you have close friends? And most said, oh, yes. And then they defined close friendship as someone you can share your feelings with. Turns out, 4 out of 5 men said, well, that's my wife.
Right.
And that's all they had.
That's all they had. And then you put them both in the same house, 24 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
Who do you think are your friends then?
Yeah.
Yeah, that it is. It is.
So what do men do when they retire if they're one of these 4 out of 5 and their social connections were at work? What happens?
They get depressed. They take out their... Depression is often called anger internalized.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. They take it out on everybody else in the world, and they don't know what to do. And there's no place to go. You know, as I was saying, life coaching for baby boomers, well, none of us ever asked for help. Uh-huh. And then you get somebody who is 65, male, and him sitting down saying, you know, my life's not doing so well. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen often. Mm-hmm. But we need to make society open to that. That, you know, I want to go back to those coffee shop places where the guys would meet at 9 o'clock in the morning for breakfast on a Monday
uh-huh.
morning.
Uh-huh.
And they would all sit there. I want little retiree rebel boxes there so that they can, that they feel like they can go someplace and start talking to each other again. And if we practice it, we need to practice it before we retire.
Before we get to your 15 tips, which want to hear, what is the best and the worst thing about retiring?
The best and the worst. I think the best is that CEO of your own life. Nobody is saying what you have to do, when you have to do it, who you have to do it with. And so you can create it. The worst is it really can be long. We set out to have careers that would last 20, 30 years. Our generation could do that.
Mm-hmm.
That was possible for us. Well, we have a retirement that could last 20 to 30 years. So it's long. It's going to get boring. It's going to get dull. It's not going to be check
if they don't talk to you.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Because their life is not done yet, Dick.
This woman's a life coach, particularly for retirement. Okay.
But if we don't figure out what it is that we're passionate about. See, I think a good retirement is on two things. Your mindset, that you can create your new life and be positive about it. And the second is that you have a purpose, that there's meaning. So whether the meaning is visiting your grandchildren, if it's taking the RV trip, I often say, too, ditch the bucket list. I mean, I'm glad people have them and they can check them off. But what they need to do is be open to being creative in their life for the first time. So coming down, at least in Madison, you know, go down to a museum you've never been to. Walk during on a trail you've never been to. Just be open to curiosity. And if you're curious in retirement, many things are going to come to you.
We're going to come back to purpose. I love that subject. Yeah. And it's endless. But let's get to your book.
Okay.
The 15 tip, was it 15 tips?
Oh, yeah. 15 essential tips for the nearly and newly retired.
Okay.
What a title.
That's a great title for to sell a book. People are impatient. Let's get
right.
to it.
Let's get to it.
And that book is very short.
It's short. It's an itty-bitty book. It's only about 48 pages. And what I like about it is I can say a few things on the front page, give some tips on the second page, and you can read it in an hour, or you can keep it next to your bed and read it a
Excellent.
Lot.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Number one. Tip number one.
Tip number one is change the whole word retire. Let's retire the word retire. That word alone is one of the most depressing things for folks. Because we need to rewire. We need to reinvent. We need to recreate. But when we retire, we're like a set of tires that are going to be thrown out.
Well, what does retirement even mean? If you're not talking about the person who works for a big company and is 65 to get their watch and their pension, when you say, let's throw out the word retire, is retire still applicable in most people's lives where there's like an end point, you fall off and you're retired?
I think in our heads there is.
Okay.
If I watch TV, I can see a lot of things about the whole financial thing, which I'd never cover. That's not my expertise at all. But I can see commercials that tell me if I follow a green line, and when I hit 65, my line is just going to be wonderful. Or there's two little squirrels, one's orange and one's green. Really? That's what we learn about retirement? But we don't learn that we need to be able to walk out of our homes and start over again. You know, even with golf, I mean, there's going to be a day that there's too much golf for you and you want to do something else,
yeah,
right?
Okay. So when you retire, don't, what, give up on life, you mean?
When
you say when you retire,
don't
retire.
You know,
retire.
The generation ahead of us, Dick, did that. I mean, I remember watching many, many men and women, mostly men, would get their gold watch at 65 and they'd be dead in 3 months. That was the norm back in the 50s. In the early 60s.
It has that kind of psychological, physical impact?
It does. And those have, that's what we grew up with. So we need to change that word. We need to move that from something else.
How about from retire to transition?
Absolutely. The more we can talk about it. We've all transitioned. The day you come out of high school, you transition. You don't have the same friends. You don't have the same books. College the same way. Getting married is a big transition. A divorce is a transition. And we see all of those, and we have lots of people around us that have done it. And that's all retirement is. And we still have lots of people around, but people think you're supposed to be so happy, so giddy that you can retire. No, you go. You close that door and you go, now what?
Okay, and the next 14 are going to tell us now what, right?
Okay, the next one is there's no more alarm clocks. The adrenaline rush that first Monday when there's no alarm clock and you think you're late for work, you need to be able to just determine what your day is going to look like. The one that I really like, though, is I look at trying to discover for people what their adrenaline drug was at work. So that's one of the chapters.
That's a good thing, the adrenaline drug, or a bad thing.
Well, it was a good thing, but all of us are driven at work for something different. So if you're talking to a CEO at a company, they have always been able to have maybe secretarial support for their life. Maybe they were able to determine their time frame a lot more easily than others. You get the person at work that is the social person, the one that's done all the potlucks for the people in the office, the ones that make sure the get well cards are done. Then you've got the person that's analytical and has worked with numbers all their life. And then you get the person that's just more entrepreneurial and will try many things. Those are four different kinds of adrenaline drugs that drove the people at work.
So know what your drug was.
Know what your drug is.
What was your drug, by the way, when you were
sales and puppy? I'm the junkie. I try new things all the time, obviously.
So experimenting
and
being creative.
I'm the experimental. I could sell you a paper bag 60 ways from Sunday.
You're a saleswoman.
Yeah, I am. But I see life like that. Okay. I don't see life in a little box. It's not a number for me.
Okay, so let's say you were an accountant and numbers are your thing and you just retired from Pricewaterhouse, if that still exists. What does that tell you?
Okay, people will say to all retired people, go and volunteer.
Okay.
Go work in a food bank. go work, whatever. And that's not true, depending on your adrenaline drug.
So do so what you like
do what
and
you,
what you're
what
at.
You're usually done with. So for, I would say for the accountant, find some place that, if you want to, might be a nonprofit that needs an accountant once a month.
Okay.
I would say go to your local PTA group and say, do you need somebody to handle the books for you? I would say to the CEO, get on a board. Find a board so you can use those same talents of being able to see strategic planning.
That makes perfect sense to me. I can think of guys I've seen who retired, who I can think of one who was a program director of a big network, and he was doing food bank work. And I thought, what's the relationship?
Right. And that's why I asked you, look at what you really have always liked. And there is a part you want to try something completely new, and I get that. But I think we just generally say, everybody go to the food bank, everybody volunteer, and that's not...
That's really wrong.
It's
think
wrong.
About what turns you on
what
and use it.
Use it. Yep.
Okay, I'm going to read here from your table of contents. Taking the next step, number three.
Taking the next step is that whole piece about I'm not done yet. And taking the next step, trying things, talking to people, figuring out what your next step might be. And are there other people with you that need to be consulted?
When you say next step, that sounds like there's one step to take, one direction to go, rather than, oh, I think I'll do a little this, a little that, a little this, a little that.
But you got to take the first step first.
And what's the first step?
And the first step is acknowledging that the way of life you've had is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a grieving process. It's no less than losing a loved one. You have loved this work for 20 years?
If you have, but you know 80% of Americans I've heard didn't like their jobs.
I know, they hate their jobs.
So why is it a grieving process?
But it still is, because it's norm. They know, you know, the saddest story I heard was this poor gentleman that's on the Monday after his retirement stood in front of his closet, and his wife came in and said, what are you doing? He said, I don't know what to wear today.
So there's a self-reinvention here.
It's complete self-reinvention. And we're at an age where we thought it was done. We thought we were done. At 65, we're old, we're wise, we're whatever, and we thought, oh, this is cool. No, now we have to start over. We're 20 again.
Let's stay on that point for a minute. Because I remember in my 30s, I looked at couples in their 70s and figured they never have a fight, they never have a conflict, they got it all figured out, or their 80s.
Right.
Isn't it? Really shocking that they don't, they keep growing.
The largest divorce rate is in the nearly and newly retired.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Why?
Oh, yes.
Why is that?
The largest divorce rate increase is in the retired folks.
Explain that.
Because now you've taken two people who may or may not have worked outside the home, and you put them in a box called a home, and they're 24/7. They've never done this before.
Huh.
And all the things that when they were 20 and fell in love and they were just going to create this wonderful life. And they've worked hard. They've worked hard for 20, 30 years to create retirement. And they don't know who the other person is across the table anymore.
Wow.
That's the largest divorce
rate.
It's called
that
the great divorce.
And problems in their marriage become much more problematic.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They start annoying each other.
And the you know, and again, I hate being stereotypical, but the man that tells the woman how to cook something.
Mm-hmm.
Or when she says, will you take out the garbage? And he said, are you kidding me? Or whatever. Or men having to learn how to shop for the first time or do their laundry for the first time because, you know, they're not going to, they don't want to do it. But there, and I must say, out of those divorces, a quarter of those divorces are by women divorcing the men because they're not going to do it anymore.
And three quarters of the men divorcing the women?
Yes, women.
Why would the men divorce the women more?
Okay, Dick, why would they?
Younger woman?
Absolutely.
No.
Yes.
After retirement?
After retirement.
Why would they do that?
Because they'll
retirement?
Feel fresh again.
Oh, my, how dumb.
How dumb, yeah.
Yeah.
And the women do it because... They finally want to have their own life.
When you write a book about what happens when the old guy marries the young woman after retirement, come back and I want to hear that
story.
Okay,
that's a good one, huh?
Yeah. So you've got what's your adrenaline drug? You've already, I think, touched on that.
Right.
And next you've got review, retreat, reinvent.
Mm-hmm. These are three tools that are really good, and they come out of that whole transition piece, Dick. I had to do it. I had, in order for me to move forward off that couch... I needed to review where I had been. I've had a wonderful career. I love being a public librarian on the south side of Chicago. I worked with architects to design library buildings. I moved to Madison. I got to go back to school in adult education, sales, teaching. I've had a wonderful career. But on that couch, I really had to look at the question of, what did it all matter? What did it matter? What did I pull from that can move me for my next 20 years? And I came up with three threads in my review process. One, I love information. I'm a Google junkie.
Getting information,
sharing information. The second one was sharing that information in a safe learning environment. That's why I love podcasts. It's in the privacy of your home, and you can learn something new.
Does that relate to, I like teaching?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And the third one was, I inspire people. You know, I was in Brava magazine, Dick. Mm-hmm. They opened the picture and I was there. Me, at 65, I'm in Brava with people coming, giving me makeup and stuff. That's not who I am. But I did it because I want somebody else to look at that picture and go, I can do that.
Wow.
I want my life, okay, the last 20 years, to inspire people to say, I'm not done yet.
And therefore, the first step you took from that realization was what?
Meeting people and learning how to do things. Okay. Yeah, to get out of the house. And so that's the review. The retreat is taking the time. I use the symbol of a candle. Give yourself time. Go away by yourself after you retire. By yourself and go to a hotel or whatever, but sit and think about what you're doing. Because working that much, nobody does that. And then you can reinvent. Then you can sit down and say, what might I want to do?
Cultivate the right mindset.
You know, 80% of our thoughts, Dick, are negative. 80% of what's going up in that brain cells all the time is negative. And so we need to move that. We need to move that. I am good enough. I'm not too old. I can still do. I want to do. I still can dream. The worst thing we do to folks is we never ask people after the age of 10, what do you dream about? We never ask people their dreams anymore. I would love that to be a networking question.
Is it possible because people at a certain age stop dreaming because they think that's
nobody
for young people?
Right, it's for young
people. And they don't know their own dreams.
Right, they don't know their
own
dreams.
And as a coach, I bet you have to tweak that out of them.
You do. So that's the mindset, is to get into that, okay, what are those dreams? How can we get to even a piece of it? You know,
and it's part of that, from what you said, past review of your life, when you were sparked,
right,
will help you know what
your
future
dreams
are.
Yeah, you do the review, you do the retreat, and then you do the reinvent.
Then we get to gray divorce, till retirement do us part.
Maybe that's what we were talking about,
okay,
right.
So we can move on to fun, but the F word to enjoy.
Do you know what, though? Other piece of this, though, from the gray divorce that I didn't mention, but I've learned since that, was that we've got the opposite side. We have those that are married, and so we have the couples that are wonderful together in marriage after retirement, those that aren't. But we also have our single folks, those that never married. And we have a group in this country right now that they're terming elder orphans. Elder orphans. They don't have family. There are no parents left. They had no children. They don't have a partner. And these folks have no one to help them. Down in Beloit, I met this gentleman that had been at the hospital. And luckily, his buddy found out he was going. And he went and sat by his bedside and held his hand when he woke up from the anesthesia. And he said, why did you do that? He said, I told you not to come. And he said, somebody has to care for you. But we have a whole mess of people that have no one to hold their hand.
And after retirement, that's a bigger issue.
It's even bigger because nobody at work knows that you've been sick. Nobody knows you need a taxi ride. You have to take a taxi ride to go to the doctor. So that elder orphan is the other side of the gray divorce piece that
I picture women, having women friends that would know this, but men who might not.
Right, absolutely. The vets. The vets are 37 suicides a day. Because our NAM generation.
By vets, you mean retired vets. You're talking about
retired vets. Yeah. Because for 40 years, they have put the PTSD down really low.
I see.
And now they're sitting at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee, and everything's coming back up. And so that's another piece of this whole thing that is just, it's tragic. And it's places for people to do some good work.
The F word, fun.
Oh, fun. How many times do we put off having fun? You know, having a date night, going out. What I'm doing right now is we're going to restaurants alphabetically. So because there's so many restaurants in this town.
That's great.
So we've now been to the AC Hotel. We've been to the Beer and Bottle on the north side, Captain Bill's. So we're looking for our D. But shake it up. Have fun.
Okay. And next, your encore entrepreneurship.
That's where an awful lot of retired people are going, because they do want to be the CEO of their own life. And 25% of retired folks start their own businesses. And they're the most successful.
Wow.
They're the most successful because of our talents.
That's a staggering thing.
That's a staggering
thing. One out of four retired
people start
a
their own business.
Wow.
Right, right. 25%.
Are you talking mainly about older people? I mean, you could retire at 30 and start a business.
No, I'm talking the nearly and newly.
Wow.
That between 50 and 65 and up are getting their own businesses. So that's either whether you're making jam in your kitchen and going to the farmer's market, or whether you're being the tax consultant on your own, or whatever it is. But people know they can't just stop.
Well, you know, a lot of people get their consultant card. They're
That's
laid
right.
off, retired, and they say, I'm now a consultant for
absolutely.
The same kind of stuff.
Absolutely. That's what, you know, I dusted my little Vistaprint card off and said, I'm an entrepreneur. I went to my entrepreneur meeting. Yep.
Okay. So you've got to have friends.
That's the key. I could sing it to you. Bette Midler would do that for you. But that's really the key. You've got to have friends. You've got to get out of the house. Staying in the house will kill you. And if your retirement plan is suicide, get out of the house. Because for some people, that is their retirement plan.
Suicide?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, they haven't saved enough. They don't know enough. They want it over. They never thought they'd be here. They thought everything would turn out well.
Okay, so you retire, you don't have friends, and you say you got to have friends. What do you go buy one? Where do you get them?
Yeah, you go buy them. You go buy them. You have 50 cups of coffee with people.
How would you do that? How would anyone find 50 people to have cups of coffee?
A couple of them were in the grocery line. Obviously, I'm not shy.
No.
Okay, so obviously, I started talking and went, well, that's really interesting. Would you like to have a cup of coffee? Other people, though, it can be in church groups, if that's where you're at, because even
good to
in
join
church.
It. I bet if you're retired, good to belong to a church or
oh,
temple.
Absolutely. The senior centers in any community are wonderful.
Senior centers.
Senior centers. And I got to tell you.
What if you don't want to be around
old,
just old people?
People? I know. And get over that. Get over the senior centers being old people. We definitely have fragile elders in the senior centers that are having lunch every Wednesday. We have that. However, we also have 50 to 65-year-olds that are playing pickleball, that are playing bridge, that are listening to podcasts, that are going on trips.
Yeah.
The senior center today is not the same senior center. So please, please,
whatever
please.
Community
so
you're
even
in.
If you want to throw up outside the door, walk through it anyhow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Move, stretch your muscles. Exercise, right?
Get out the door. Take the half-hour walk. Just a half-hour a day helps that mindset of getting those 80% of bad things out of your head, and you might see a tree. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of mental health, everyone knows
everybody
exercise
knows
is good
that,
for
right.
your mental health, let alone your physical health.
Right.
What did you learn today?
That's a question we should always go to bed with.
Ah.
What did you learn today? What did you learn today? So go to the community colleges. Again, go to the senior centers and see what they're doing. Find some way to learn, whether it's on TV, whether it's the amount
reading.
Of...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, oh.
And, you know, when you're 62 and older, most towns have free audit for college classes.
Absolutely. I mean, I love TED Talks, so I use TED.com and can listen to a variety of things.
But then you're just a passive consumer. Don't you need to interact with ideas?
Well, hopefully that's what's going to happen, is you're going to have all this stuff and you're going to want to share it.
Okay.
I mean, if I've just heard your program, I'm going to want to share that, Dick, right?
I hope so. I hope so. Reclaim your creativity.
You know, these are all the budding artists, all the budding writers, the people who have put away their dream of being creative for so long, and now they can do something. So they can take an art course or start writing that mystery novel. Carol Larson, again, my co-conspirator in Retiree Rebels, is writing a mystery book. She loves killing people. Wouldn't you have a few people you'd like to kill? So, but go back to that. Find out what that means for you to be creative.
What's your legacy?
That's the big question. That's that whole meaning thing. And it's not only the legacy you feel. It's your financial legacy. It's your legacy for your children. It's writing letters to people.
What do you mean?
Write the letter even to your parents that are probably passed away. Write them the letter that says that they left you a legacy so that you know how to write the letter to your children or your next-door neighbor or whatever, that they mattered. Our big thing in life is we're here for a reason, I think, in my own little world, and We have so much to share. We need to share what we've learned with somebody else. Otherwise, we just feel meaningless.
Is this life's purpose?
It's that purpose stuff again.
Finding your mission, your purpose.
Right. I've been reading a wonderful book about the meaning and the four pillars of meaning. And one is belonging. Mm-hmm. How do we belong to a group? And how does that fit in our life? The second one is the purpose. What is my purpose? My purpose right now is that I will inspire people to know they're not alone in this time called retirement and aging and transition. The third one is sort of transcendence, that we're bigger than just us, that we have a spiritual role, mm-hmm. if you want, to leave something behind us. And that fourth one, of course, is just blocking out on me, but it's probably very good. It's probably a wonderful one, too.
I think the subject of finding your life purpose is fascinating.
Oh. That's where, yeah, I do a lot with that right now because, yeah, we all, but see, this is the time of the life we can do that too.
But I think it's mistaken. The idea you have one purpose. Oh, like God. If you think, my purpose is to help people. Well, mm-hmm. what about if you love golf or you really like the piano?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you have just one purpose? It makes you one dimensional.
Right.
And
but
it
see,
can throw
those
you
are
off.
The questions you can now ask yourself, Dick. See, that's what the fun of retirement is. To take the question, what's your purpose, and go, I don't believe there's just one, you know, is because we've never spent time with that when you're going to work every day. And that's what you can have a cup of coffee with. And the last one is ready, set, retire. What is that for you? What is retirement for you? And make it yours.
Own it. Okay.
Own it. Own it, whatever it is, and be willing to start over, review, retreat, and reinvent all the time.
Well, you have heard an awful lot from our guest today. Mary Helen Conroy. And if you want to hear more, you can go to retireerebels.com, read right. her book.
And we can also do the other website I have, which has everything I do. It's called lifesadaringadventure.com. lifesadaringadventure.com.
And with that, I thank you, and I hope you'll join us on the next edition of Insights.